Against the crimson disk of the setting sun, a helicopter hovers above a vast desert basin. It lightly brushes the very top of a richly layered air mass, yellow ochre at its base, changing through sepia, fawn, and beige to a golden cream at its top. On board the helicopter, Captain Claude Jatteau, cameraman Louis Bettin, and pilot Bernard Fourchette. Below them lie the great freeways of the Los Angeles Basin, barely visible in the late afternoon light through the thickly colored atmosphere.
Cet incroyable, such a rich color of brown.
Jatteau's plan for this expedition is an ambitious one.
For many years, we had heard tales, perhaps apocryphal, of Los Angeles and her mysterious freeways. Travelers returning from this distant land had spoken of an extraordinary tribe of nomads who migrated vast distances, not twice each year with the changing of the seasons, but twice each day. We hoped to witness this amazing journey, even to travel with the natives on the vast man-made concrete rivers, rivers that seem to bring such prosperity and riches to an otherwise arid and unpromising desert basin.
The freeways that make possible this circadian migration bind together the isolated villages of the basin in a web of concrete rivers over 700 miles long. Barring unforeseen problems, Jatteau intends to travel by automobile from his ship, the Fandango, moored in the port of San Pedro, up the harbor freeway to the very center of the web, at the confluence of the Santa Monica, Golden State, Santa Ana, and Pomona freeways, where the migration reaches its majestic climax of over 458,000 vehicles per day. On board the Fandango, Jatteau is joined by two new members of the team.
Hello, bonjour, Professor Amir. It is so very good to see you again. Welcome
aboard. Salam alaikum, Captain Jatteau. It has been much too long.
Oh, Professor Abdul Hassan Amir is an Egyptian anthropologist from the University of Cairo, who has devoted his career to the study of Americans.
And now,
his specialty, the natives of the Los Angeles Basin.
Ramirez Gonzalez.
Welcome, Mr. Gonzalez.
Pleasure to meet you, Captain Jatteau. I want you to know, you're talking to one of the best drivers in L.A.
I look forward to
it. He has brought with him Juan Pedro Ramirez Gonzalez, a local guide with a vast knowledge of the concrete rivers, who will act as chief driver in what promises to be a demanding mission of saturation driving.
Have you driven an automobile a great deal?
Sure, man. I've been driving my cab for 15 years.
Oh, c'est absolument excellent, ça. We are most fortunate to have you with us, are we not, Professor Amir?
But
now, we must show you the vessel, the automobile that we have brought with us all the way from France. Come this way, please. We have it stored in here.
Voila. Isn't she beautiful?
This is it? Oh, shit, man. A Pinto. You gotta be kidding, man. Do you wanna drive around L.A. in this? Come here, man. I gotta talk to you.
Before leaving for America,
I'm sorry, man.
Jatteau has located and purchased from a dealer in Marseille a rare example of a genuine American automobile.
You don't got no rear view
mirror. One of the very few to be found in Europe.
Look, the upholstery.
But it is now becoming clear that to the more experienced eye of Gonzalez, this vessel is hardly appropriate for the rigorous conditions that the team will face the next day on the harbor freeway.
This car's gonna be on TV, even if it was brand new. It ain't got no cojones.
Even though Jatteau understands little of what Gonzalez is saying, he is impressed by his obvious expertise and charmed by the relaxed informality of this American.
Good idea, man.
He quickly agrees to a change of plan.
I have decided.
Jatteau will postpone by one day his journey up the harbor freeway and instead will join Gonzalez in a nearby village where Gonzalez will purchase for the team a more fitting vessel.
Please, let us go back up on deck.
Though our naive mistake has cost us a day, we are grateful for the opportunity to spend more time acclimatizing ourselves to the pungent atmosphere of the Los Angeles Basin. For the respiratory stamina exhibited by the hardy people of this region cannot be matched even by the fittest members of our team. Even for the well-equipped outsider, the freeways of Los Angeles remain forbidding, guarding their secrets from those unwilling to meet them on their own terms.
Sir, good morning, gentlemen. How can I help you all today?
Okay, relax, man. I'll tell you. My friend here, Capitaine Jatteau, he's looking for a really cherry van, and he needs it today.
Well, I think I can help
Jatteau
you with that.
And
now,
Professor Amir have joined Gonzalez at a colorful and fascinating car market in the nearby seaside village of Long Beach.
Seven, man.
There, they watch in delight as Gonzalez eagerly engages the brightly clothed car seller in a time-honored ritual.
Now, take a look at this beauty. This is a limited edition, deluxe custom 250XL with two-tone, deep luster metal flake finish. And we've added some
the
extra
car
touch.
Seller's name is Joseph
Dual
Comfort,
color,
though he prefers to be known as Buddy. In spite of his relative youth, he has earned a reputation as a shrewd judge of character, a hard but fair bargainer,
like that,
and a
Captain?
True lover of the automobile.
Kind of
now, we call this color Madeira Plum Pearl Mist. Now, let's take a look inside.
As the ritual unfolds, Professor Amir interprets for Jatteau.
American people are completely captivated by their automobiles. To them, they are in great beauty. They are less mode of transportation than a medium of self-expression. Do you know that in American language, there are over 75 different words for car? At a very young age, an American child is able to distinguish between, let us say, a convertible sports car and a four-door mid-sized station wagon.
And a vanity mirror over here on the passenger side visor.
Hey, man. I really like this green shag rug. Your tourist got scotch guard?
Oh, Pedro yes, Gonzalez has a sharp eye for detail and quality.
Way, don't forget
and he will look hard for the van that in his eyes is just package, right for Jatteau.
Which includes refrigerator and ice maker with automatic defrost.
Top of the line stereo entertainment center with extended range two-way speakers.
Yeah, man, for sure. For sure, man. You got it. Yeah.
Up there, you see that
as Gonzalez continues his exhaustive inspection of the available stock, Professor Amir takes advantage of this opportunity to point out to Jatteau the distinguishing features of the automobiles gathered around
them. Right next to it, from same family, five-door hatchback.
Though we have only been here a day, we can already sense, if only slightly, the rich complexity of this unfamiliar culture. At first sight, all these vessels appear to be as similar as peas in a pod. But we can now see that no two automobiles are exactly alike. Each is a unique creation with a shape and color of its own. The frisky little sports car with its upturned tail, the placid family sedan, so gentle and forgiving, the noble limousine, the faithful pickup truck. For us, their names are becoming as rich in meaning as they are already to Gonzalez and his people.
The type of van that Mr. Gonzalez is attempting to buy right now.
As Jatteau and the professor rejoin Gonzalez in Comfort, they discover that the selection of the van has been made and
the
preliminary negotiations have been completed.
Well,
and now the cordial give and take acquires a hard-edged tone as the ritual bargaining draws to a close.
With the rear speakers, I can let you have it for 23.7 out the door. That's my last offer.
Okay, we'll take it, if you give me the ice maker.
Sold. I know you're going
to Gonzalez
really
has purchased for Jatteau
now,
a metal flake
a
green and magenta seven passenger van with roof
sure
rack,
thing, man.
Aluminum
sure.
access ladder, and floor to ceiling smoked glass windows. Later that afternoon, as they drive off in their new purchase, Jatteau considers what tomorrow will bring.
Los Angeles. The words themselves evoke a sense of foreboding mixed with seductive possibilities. There is an upwelling of anxiety in our mind over the safety of our team during the coming days. Our people are specialists in the ways of the sea. They know her moods and rhythms. But tomorrow, we embark on a mission into an alien world of man-made rivers, into a vast concrete tapestry. Each freeway, a thread in a living fabric, interwoven in a manner far too complex for any single human being to understand.
The next morning, just an hour before sunrise, the final dockside preparation of the new van has been completed under the experienced supervision of Chief Driver Gonzalez. The driving tanks have been filled with gasoline, the refrigerator stocked with provisions, and a decorative fringe of purple dingle balls has been hung across the top of the windshield. Then, in a rare appearance before the cameras, Madame Jatteau christens the vessel.
Maintenant, je vous baptise ici.
The van has been named Isis, after the ancient Egyptian goddess of the river Nile.
As we make our way through the quiet backwaters of San Pedro towards the mouth of the great freeway,
do they do this?
We try to imagine ourselves one of the natives, sensing that powerful tidal force that calls to them each day to leave their homes and join 5 million others in this vast migration that to our untrained eye appears to lead nowhere.
As night gives way to day, the early morning sun reveals to Jatteau and the scientists on board the van an awesome sight. Before them lies the harbor freeway, flowing northward at full force.
A gigantic, multicolored serpent of automobiles stretched before us, moving as if it were a single organism throbbing with life. Though each vessel was separately guided by an individual native, this collective creature moved forward with the deliberate and synchronized pulses of a giant earthworm until it disappeared in the distance into a rich, mocha-colored mist.
They are now ready to join the flow.
Traffic's moving pretty good today.
Displaying skills that are commonplace to the native, Gonzalez unhesitatingly accelerates the Isis up a gently curving ramp and slides the vessel into the surging current with reflexes that are rapid and unerring.
Wow, look at that black stingray. That's beautiful.
Stingray?
Hey, look. Check that out, man. That's a Pinto. You see what a stupid-looking car that is?
Oh, I think
how about that Falcon, man? They don't make those no more.
Jatteau is delighted by this enthusiastic outpouring from Gonzalez. He plans to catalog for further study the different families of automobiles found on the freeways. And it is now abundantly clear that Gonzalez's encyclopedic knowledge will be of enormous value to Jatteau. And as the great tidal flow carries them ever northward, their vessel, surrounded by other brightly painted cars, each in the eye-catching colors so beloved by the natives, Jatteau reflects.
The superficial analogy that we are tempted to draw with a world of ants or termites does not begin to do justice to the sights around us.
That car just passed us, man.
For what is unfolding here is no less than the complex hieroglyphs of a nomad society, each vessel an ideograph, redolent with meaning.
Suddenly, for no apparent reason, the rapidly moving file of cars ahead of the Isis is blocked in midstream.
What is this?
Gonzalez must make a lightning decision. He may rapidly apply the brakes to the Isis, placing himself at the mercy of the driver behind him, or he can look for more open freeway and risk changing lanes at high speed. In a fraction of a second, he makes his choice, swerving into the left lane to narrowly avoid the car in front. But even that lane is now clogged. He applies the brakes gently and eases the Isis to a stop. Jatto and his crew are safe, though still many miles short of their goal.
Oh, shit, man.
We were overjoyed. Here was an opportunity to witness firsthand what was to be at least a traffic jam, and at best, perhaps the fabled gridlock. Stopped in front of us, like a brightly colored carpet stitched with twinkling red lights, the multitude of cars reflects the stoic patience of their hardy nomad drivers, each obediently responding to the rhythms of the freeway.
No, I don't think so, man. No.
During the following hour, Jatto directs his cameraman to obtain the fullest possible coverage of this fortuitous event. But eventually, the team's exhilaration gives way to mounting alarm.
We realized that as the hours wore on, our tiny vessel would become engulfed in the murky cloud of petrochemical vapor that the natives call a smug, an acrid, mist-like atmosphere that to outsiders like ourselves would burn our eyes and sear our lungs.
Using the two-way radio installed on the ISIS for just such an emergency, Jatto summons help from the Fandango. Within minutes, Jatto and his team are being airlifted out of the traffic jam by helicopter, leaving the ISIS in the more experienced hands of Gonzalez and Professor Amir.
We were disappointed at our failure to reach the confluence of the great freeways, but we were also delighted by our growing understanding of these patient and long-suffering desert nomads.
Later that evening on board the Fandango, Jatto is rejoined by the professor and Gonzalez. Over a bottle of French wine, they relive the day's events, recounting the tale of the eventual escape from the traffic jam some 4.5 hours after Jatto's rescue. It had been an exhausting ordeal. As they plan the next day's expedition, Jatto considers the meaning of their adventure.
The freeways, those immense branching rivers that flow not only through the vast Los Angeles basin, but also through American myth and memory, need no legends. For as the reality of what we have seen gives new meaning to the stories we have heard, we realize that their truths are living legends.
During the course of the next 3 weeks, Jatto and his team collect extensive data on the freeways and on the nomads who ride them. But now their allotted time in Los Angeles is running short. One last expedition remains for Jatto.
Excuse me, how much are the star maps, please?
$3.
Does it show the street addresses?
For sure.
Good, I'll take one.
Yeah, $3.
Thank you very much.
Have a nice day.
One of the many legends bred in this arid desert basin is the myth of the Hollywood film star. The legend refers not to an astronomical object, but rather to a small tribe of natives, human in all outward appearances, but endowed, so the legend goes, with a strange hypnotic ability to enchant and enthrall. This, at least, is what the natives say. And this is what has brought Jatto to the secluded and heavily wooded settlement of Beverly Hills.
Let me see. Ah, yes. The asterisks indicate the film stars that have already died. The dots.
Even before coming to Los Angeles, we had heard tales of the elusive and perhaps mythical Hollywood film star. The many stories we had been told by the natives had not satisfied our curiosity.
For example,
they had merely tantalized it.
Here on Roxbury Drive.
Jatto's plan holds great promise.
On this street,
it has been estimated that over half of all the film stars in the world live and breed in the rugged hills that surround the Los Angeles basin. But recent studies have shown that over the past 20 years, their population has suffered a drastic and perhaps irreversible decline.
But we will not find
Professor Amir explains further.
Lionel Barrymore.
Our studies have shown that the Hollywood film star's favorite habitat has been seriously threatened by other species of stars that are both younger and perhaps more aggressive. During the 1960s, we first noticed that television stars were rapidly moving into the niche previously occupied by the film stars.
We must study
and
this
by 1975, we were seeing a further erosion of the film star habitat by the arrival of the rock and roll star. It appears that many of the older film stars have been driven away or have even died.
Jatteau expects important results from the plans that he has conceived.
Alors bon.
Guided by the maps that he has bought from the local natives, he will attempt to capture and tag for further study some of the elusive Hollywood stars. He has brought with him a dart gun that can fire a harmless tranquilizer with great accuracy and radio transmitting collars that he hopes to secure around the necks of the film stars so that scientists can track and study the habits of this beguiling mammal.
We are uncomfortable with the idea of capturing these intelligent creatures, but in this case, it seems unavoidable. For many scientific questions have been left unanswered. Questions that may hold the clue to their eventual survival.
Jatteau, cameraman and crew now begin their systematic search on foot through the rugged hills, using their recently purchased map to locate the known home sites of the film stars. But as the day wears on, their hopes of a sighting are diminishing. The stars are clearly even more elusive than expected.
Are you sure they come out in the daytime?
Yes, definitely. But they are very shy.
Then, quite suddenly, just before dusk, as they are about to pack up their equipment and return to the Fandango, a sighting is made.
Look, there's one.
Where? There. Oh, yes. Shh. Silence.
Concealing themselves in the bushes, they watch in awe as the creature makes its way across an open clearing of grass.
C'est incroyable.
It is a female film star with extraordinary blonde hair and golden brown limbs.
Is that a mating call? With a tremulous shyness, she advances. It is both breathtaking and heartrending. We feel privileged to capture on film this beguiling creature. As we witness this entrancing sight, we begin to sense the truth of the tales we have heard, tales that describe how, by merely gazing into her eyes, a person can become enchanted.
Ever mindful of the fading light, Jatteau orders that a tranquilizer dart be used.
Allez, tirez!
With Professor Amir to help identify their quarry, Jatteau and his crew hasten to secure the radio collar.
Yes, this is just as I thought. Doris Day, very special, very famous. For many years, a Hollywood film star.
A perfect specimen.
She is so soft.
Oh, you must be very careful not to disturb her hair.
By counting and measuring her wrinkles, they are able to estimate her age.
63.
But only moments remain before the tranquilizer will begin to wear off.
We must go.
Jatteau and his men withdraw to the safety of the bushes to watch her reawakening.
Ah, c'est bien. And then she is gone. Only the delicate scent of her perfume remains in the air, like a mist about to form in the stillness of a warm summer evening. We find ourselves drowned, exhausted by the intensity of the encounter.
That evening, as they drive south down the harbor freeway towards the Fandango and the open sea, Jatteau activates the first radio receiver that will help scientists throughout the world study the fading film stars.
Whether we can actually reverse the Hollywood film star's decline, or merely bear witness to it, is a story whose final chapter has yet to be written. And yet the effort must be made. For when the last great film star dies, a thousand other Earths must come and go before another star will pass this way again.
As the Isis becomes engulfed yet again in one final traffic jam, Jatto considers what they have learned over the last 3 weeks.
The hundreds of miles of freeways that have slipped beneath the wheels of the Isis have shown us that here, in this strange world, man and freeway are joined by intersecting destinies. Those who wish to tap the freeway's reaches must find themselves captive of her cycles, their nomadic lives determined by the vicissitudes of her perpetually changing flow. This basin's colossal but fragile fecundity can only be harvested by those with the patience to endure the demands of its great freeways, the rivers of the angels.